Science Faction is meant for an adult audience, which explains all the dicks and racism.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 236. Science Faction, I call BS.
Every other one's an I Call BS from here on out, right?
Yeah. Every Thursday, we release our I Call BS. Every Sunday night, Monday morning, we release our main episode. If you missed this week's, we had Bill, and we were talking about how herpes caused Damien's Alzheimer's disease.
You can call it 136. In my head, this is 135A.
Well, apparently you don't realize what comes first in the alphabet, but all right, fair enough. All right, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Herpes himself, Damien Mercado. Damien, how are you doing this afternoon?
Riddled with herpes, Bob.
Yep, and Alzheimer's disease, so you can't remember it. And
how did I get these?
And our scientist for the evening, Bill. Bill, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
All right. I can't even remember all the awesome times I had.
All right, let's move right on to I Call BS.
I call BS.
All right, I call BS, the game where I read four science news articles, and my panelists compete to see which ones are real and which ones are BS, standing for bad science. Are you guys ready to play?
I'm ready to compete in the game of champions.
Indeed, it is the game of champions. You have never been that champion before.
That is factually false.
Any day it can happen for you, Damien. I want you to keep going. Keep
playing
striving.
The lotto.
You're like Rudy if you never put a jersey on.
Five quick picks, please.
All right. Article number one. New research confirms the effectiveness of a super accurate blood test for autism. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science, but your statement is misleading. They're not actually testing for autism. They're testing for vaccines, which cause autism.
Oh, God damn it. It's completely untrue. They're testing for trains.
I thought you were going to go mace.
Small trains through the blood. That's how you tell if it's autism or not. All right. And Bill.
I'm getting kind of a case of deja vu here. I feel like we have covered a blood test where you also said it was accurate and it turned out not to be accurate. So I'm going to say bad science just for that reason there.
All right.
Is the test quite possibly, and if this is, you don't have to acknowledge if it's the answer or not, Bobby, but as they're withdrawing the blood, if the person says exactly how many milliliters has been drawn out, then
right.
They're autistic.
Yeah, or if you spill the needles on the way to do it and they count them all real quick.
Autistic.
Yeah. Article number two, new research shows that kangaroos in Victoria who've been acting weirdly, i.e. having uncoordinated movements, flopping necks, running into fences, and doing weird somersaults, we're actually getting drunk on an abandoned supply of rum in the bush. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science, and I don't know what this could be, but I know this is bullshit, because something drunk acting a fool in Australia is not news.
So you're saying we wouldn't even hear about it if it was the case?
No. Like if it was like gentlemanly kangaroos, box human,
okay.
Concede loss.
Yeah. If you had found out they were jumping around all weird because they just got hit over the head with a boomerang, total sense.
Celebrating because their Joey got into college.
Right. All right. And Bill.
I'm going to say science. I've heard of studies, or not studies, but observations of primates being drunk in the wild. Mm-hmm. And
frequently it's like fermented fruit or something that they'll do.
Right. But if they had found a store of rum, I imagine something similar would happen.
Oh, so absolutely. Have you never seen Pirates of the Caribbean monkey boat?
Totally plausible. So I'm going to say science.
All right. Article number three, the oldest syphilis ever identified has been discovered in the remains of a baby. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science, but I'm picturing an interview from back in time. And it's misleading. It's not a baby. It's, I have the oldest syphilis. I've been called baby time or two. I'll be your baby all night.
Okay, so it's a gross old woman with a weird sexual nickname.
It's ironic. It's like calling a big dude tiny.
Yeah, okay. I do like that when somebody gets to the age of 80, you start referring to them as baby.
Only in the prostitute circles.
All right, and Bill.
You said that this was science.
He did.
Okay. I'm going to say not science. I'm going to say that it was actually an old man.
Okay.
So the oldest syphilis, he had a particular syphilis in him that he lovingly referred to as baby.
Okay.
Like there's a particular...
Oh, that's an interesting flip on it. All right. So he's had this syphilis his whole life. He took it to Europe with him. They toured around. He shared it with a few people.
He's got pictures with it.
Yeah. This is me and the syphilis in front of the Eiffel Tower.
I was picturing more like an Up situation where it's the little Asian boy.
Okay.
He's just trying to have this adventure and the syphilis.
No. He gave the little Asian boy the syphilis.
Oh, my God.
All right. Article number 4. Getting lemon or lime juice on your skin in direct sunlight will cause chemical burns. Damien, is this science? Science or bad science?
This is science, and it also works for Sprite.
Yeah, you just poured some Sprite or some 7-Up on you and you sit out in the sun?
No, I didn't say 7-Up, Bobby.
All right.
It'll also work for Slice and Squirt, even though it's a grapefruit soda.
And Bill.
I will say science. So I'm thinking that there are acids that you can use to etch metals.
Sure.
And if you heat them, they etch much faster.
Right.
That's usually a reaction that is happening between multiple acids. And so it could be that there's something on your skin that is reacting with the acid. And when it's in direct sunlight, then it's at a higher temperature. And so then it would react faster, thus burning your skin.
Very good.
I'm going to jump back to the third question because once you start reading the answers, the time for funny jokes is over. And so I want to cram in one last.
I mean, not necessarily, but keep going.
Wait, listen, this is if nothing but a podcast
this
of rules.
Is serious.
But how did they tell the oldest syphilis ever? Like, was it the syphilis that came out and yelled at kids for running on its lawn?
Yeah. Well,
voted for Trump?
It's got wrinkles. It's a wrinkly syphilis.
it eats dinner at 4:30. All right, let's go back and see how you guys did following at home and see how you did.
Matlock.
Article number 1, new research confirms the effectiveness of a super accurate blood test for autism. Damien thinks this is true. Bill thinks this is false. And this is science and very, very cool. We talked about this test last year when it was first published. It isn't woo-woo because you would think, how do you do a blood test for autism? Autism's a neuro condition. How would a blood test work for that? Some really interesting autism researchers doing some very interesting work. So they're looking at 24 metabolites that are related to the two cellular pathways that we know are associated with autism. So basically, we can actually see the remains of the metabolites of these particular pathways in your bloodstream. They had stumbled upon this about last year. They were like, oh my God, this means we might be able to do a test. So they put together this test looking at those 24 metabolites. And in that paper last year, the sample size was 149 kids. And they looked at it and they found a really, really high accuracy rate of being able to detect them. They basically looked at the blood samples and said, we think this kid would have autism. They looked at it and they were right 97% of the time. Hugely accurate. So that caused a big stir. We covered it on this show. It's a big deal. That would change clinician work. That would change diagnostic work. It would change the tens of thousands of dollars oftentimes parents have to pay to get that diagnosis nowadays. Now it's a simple blood test. It would change how we do this in the third world because you wouldn't have to have clinicians out there. You can just do blood samples and tests out there. It would change our ability to diagnose kids really early. You don't have to wait for them to be able to go through cognitive trials. You can do it when they're a baby. That's really important because early intervention has a huge effect on the severity of that ASD. You're always going to have autism. You know that when you're 2 or 3 and you start doing cognitive behavioral therapy and certain interventions, they will live a much more normal life. So this could be a really, really groundbreaking thing. We needed to do follow-up research, and that follow-up research was done. They looked at 154 children. They looked at basically a blood sample test of these 154 children that was already available. They looked through the database, and they put this blood work through their test. Now, the one caveat to this was they weren't doing this as an experiment. They were looking at an already done sample of blood testing. So they didn't get to pick the metabolites tested. They only got to look at the metabolites that were tested in the sample. They only had tested 22 of the 24 metabolites, and 2 of the ones they didn't test were 2 of the big ones they needed for their diagnostic tests. But even without those 2 main ones, this new sample of 154 kids was 88% accurate, missing 2 of their biggest markers. That's huge. That's a huge confirmation. We always talk on the show about how peer-reviewed published research is not the definitive answer to science. It doesn't mean this is science. It's the beginning of it. You then have to replicate that over and over again. This is the first real indication that this is real and it's big and it might change the way we work with autism.
Let's say tomorrow, everything you just said happens. We diagnose autism. Mm-hmm. It's much less of a problem.
Right.
18 years from now, when our space agency is nothing.
Yeah. Who's working at Google?
Thomas the Train Engine is off the air.
Right.
Our video games suck now.
Yeah. No, it is. It's a point. They contribute a lot. You know, who's going to start Microsoft if we don't have people with Asperger's?
Well, so does the therapy for an autistic child remove those benefits that you're talking about?
You know, that's an interesting question. And I don't think that it would necessarily, because they're still going to have, you know, different brain structure. It's really more of a social therapy that helps them have less of a social stigma. It helps them kind of relate to people more, how to learn how to empathize.
It doesn't so much change the functioning of their thoughts. It's just, how do you incorporate your thoughts into everyone else's experience?
But that changes the functioning of your thoughts. I mean, that's just a different way to do it. More importantly, though, if you're not alone and ostracized by the community and people don't beat you up, then how do you learn how to code? It is a very interesting thing, super promising. I actually think this is one of the most exciting articles that came out. It would have been one of our main articles, but the research publication that I read didn't have it until after I already sent you the note. So unfortunately, we had to bump it to here, but super, super interesting. Keep your eyes on this test. If this gets confirmed, really, we need like one or two more tests for it to start hitting being considered real mainstream science. And if that is the case, and we can do this as a predictive model over and over again, we are about to dramatically change the landscape of autism diagnosis, treatment, and its effect on our society in general.
I'm picturing, depending upon the severity of the autism, they may not be able to consent to having their blood drawn. Somebody does it for them. And so each time they're helping science, it's this crazy scientist just drawing blood from this
They're basically Nazi scientists doing crazy work.
Confused mathematician flailing.
Right. All right, article number two. New research shows that kangaroos in Victoria who've been acting weird with their uncoordinated movements, flopping necks, somersaults, and whatnot,
a flopping neck?
It's like their neck is broken. They're like, their neck flops around.
Is that something you do when you're drunk? Because I've never found myself doing that.
They were actually getting drunk on abandoned supply of rum in the bush. Damien thinks this is false. Bill thinks this is true. And this one is bad science. They're actually eating an invasive grass. So there's this invasive grass that was brought to Australia because it does really well with high salinity waters, with drought. It's very drought resistant. And it has incredibly good root networks that help control erosion. So
it's farmers, a solid fescue blend.
Farmers have brought this in. It was known to be poisonous. We've always known it was. They knew it was for their cattle. They'd have to add copper to the cattle's diet to help keep it from infecting them as much or keep it away from their actual cattle grazing areas. But it's known to be poisonous. It's now getting out further and further into Australia. It's expanding as an invasive species. These kangaroos are eating it. It is essentially a neurotoxin. It starts destroying their brain and they start acting crazy, which is, I mean, they can't survive once this happens. They're literally running 30 miles an hour headlong into a fence. They're doing flips and landing weird. They can't really get food and stuff. And once it's not reversible. So once they eat this and this happens, you pretty much have to put them down because they're actually a danger to the other kangaroos at that point. So it's fairly serious and kind of sad, but people have been observing these kangaroos in Victoria for quite some time and taking video of them. And people are like, I don't know. They're like fucking zombie kangaroos. Like something, The Walking Dead is happening here in Australia to kangaroos. Something's going on. And they couldn't explain it. They thought they were looking at ideas like we were talking about. Were they eating some kind of fermented fruit and getting wasted? Something is up, right? Turns out it's this invasive grass. That's really too bad because unlike getting drunk, it doesn't wear off at the end. You are permanently neurologically damaged and you have to put those animals down. So hopefully we can kind of cull a lot of that invasive grass and get rid of it and it won't be as much of a problem.
Is it Roundup resistant?
Probably not. You could probably kill it with that. Article number three, the oldest syphilis ever identified has been discovered in the remains of a baby. Damien thinks this is true. Bill thinks this is false. And this one is science and an interesting story. So one of the age-old debates on syphilis is where it comes from. Old thinking,
babies apparently.
Yeah, right. Old school thinking says syphilis comes from the New World. It was one of the few diseases that was from the Native Americans that then the voyagers actually literally on Columbus's voyage caught and took back to the Old World that caused the huge syphilitic outbreaks of the 16th century that basically ravaged Europe. It killed tons of people, made a bunch of people go crazy. You know, famously King George went crazy from it. It devastated Europe. And so the thinking for a long time was this is one of the few things. This is reverse smallpox. It went the other way.
Just as HIV devastated a generation of the homosexual community here in America, the syphilis outbreak destroyed a generation of awesome dudes in England.
Oh, it totally did. It was a huge problem. It still can cause problems. And now we have a lot of antibacteria resistant syphilis, which is terrifying. But it looks like that and tobacco were the exports that the natives like pushed out. We're like, all right, fuck you guys, take this. But we don't know because we've actually been finding more and more skeletons of the Old World that predate contact, so before the late 1400s, that seem to show signs of syphilis. The reason this is complicated is there's another disease called yaws. Yaws is a highly transmissible infection that is the similar bacteria of syphilis, but it's not sexually transmitted. You actually get it from like people's open pus sores. And
it's a very specific fetish.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess it could be sexual, I guess. That Yaw's disease, it causes the same type of issues that we see on the bones that we use to identify syphilis. So if you want to know how somebody has, if somebody had syphilis in the past, you'd look at the bones and you'd say, see these kind of holes in the bones in these right places? This is syphilis. The problem is Yaw's causes the exact same thing and we can't tell the difference. So one of the theories is, yes, those skeletons we see in the old world, that's Yaw's, and Yaw's existed in the old world, but they didn't get syphilis until they came to the new world. There's this back and forth idea. Well, these researchers looked at a Mexico City cemetery that was occupied from the 1680s to the 1860s, and they were looking at cases where it looked like either Yaw's or syphilis was present within the population of those people buried in the cemetery. They looked at a baby skeleton from this particular cemetery that showed this.
Aww.
Yeah, that showed the signs of this. And when they looked at it, they actually were able to, for the first time ever, get DNA from the microbes that caused the disease. It was still around from the 1680s. In this case, they were able to positively identify it as syphilis, not Yaw's. However, in looking through the cemetery, they also found a few people, and they were able to identify them as Yaw's sufferers. They looked, did the microbial analysis. They figured out that the DNA was of Yaw's. That means, and when they looked at the bones, they couldn't tell them apart. So what they basically determined was, A, we now have the oldest confirmed evidence of syphilis ever, but B, we now know that as far as we can do now, we can't tell them apart, so the old world stuff may not be syphilis, and again, it may have come from the new world. So this is a new chapter in the book of where did syphilis come from? That part is pretty interesting. Also new because we found, for the first time ever, actual DNA from these microbes that still exist in the bones of this baby. We also found that, and you might be going like, hey, who's this baby banging? How is he getting so much syphilis? And the answer is things were different back then. No, the answer is you almost certainly contracted it from its mother in utero and died from it. It was quite lethal to young kids at that time. And it eventually was lethal to adults as well. It would kill you usually over some time after making you go mad. But this is a really interesting study because now we can go back to some of these bones and we can start doing the analysis. Maybe with a little bit of advancement of technology, we can find some of those really old pre-contact bones in the old world, do the examination, see if it's Yaw's or syphilis, because it is a really interesting story. That disease swept through Europe, swept through right after the Columbus's ships came back, seemingly as a result of it. And we have had that theory for a long time. Up until a few years ago when we started pulling out skeletons from the old world that predate it, that seem to have it. So this will kind of settle it. If we can figure out from those old bones whether or not they were syphilis or Yaw's, we can settle where this came from. And at least now we have the oldest known case. All right, on to article number 4. Getting lemon or lime juice on your skin in sunlight will cause burns. Both of you guys thought this was science. And this one is science. Congratulations on Damien's first ever win.
Not true.
Damien.
I won. I don't want to say that's not true.
You are being
a
horrible winner right now. You are being just a bad sport.
I have won many times.
You know what? I'm giving the victory to Bill because you are being so disgusting.
Spirit points.
It is outside of your power.
So disgusting right now. You are the MMA fighter who has knocked the guy out and now you've kicked his limp body while it's on the ground. It's just disgusting sportsmanship. And I don't want any part of it.
Did I lose that badly? I just knocked out and totally limp?
I don't think you have the power. I want to go to the science faction charter.
Also, I'm giving Bill a positive 4 points because he correctly identified what was going on in this particular case. So,
wait, like 4 points on top of the one he already got? So did he break the score?
Yeah, I think he beat you by like 18 points. You got to multiply by the divider.
The number of letters after your name, you get that many extra points.
I'd like to register a complaint with the governing body.
Complaint.
Call BS.
Complaint is denied. Indeed, this is science. I actually got this from an article that wasn't about lemons or limes, but it surprised me because that was in there. It was about something called hogweed, which is another invasive species that people are getting massive chemical burns from because they don't recognize it. So they see this thing out there. You're out hiking in the woods or something. You see the stuff. You scrape against it. You get some of its sap or whatever on you. It then reacts with sunlight and causes a chemical burn. And it can be fairly painful. And it apparently happens with lemons and limes too, which is crazy because I've never heard of this. And I feel like I would have. But it's
like if I brushed against a mojito, would that happen?
That's right. Or maize.
Much less acidic, but...
Yeah. So what happens is the chemical essentially makes you more prone to sunburn. It takes 30 minutes to 120 minutes for the skin to absorb these particular chemicals from the plant's juice or sap. And then with sun exposure, the ultraviolet radiation activates the chemical compounds, kind of like you were talking about, Bill, about the heat, activates the chemical compounds which bind to and damage DNA and essentially destroy the cells. And then your cells slough off and you have a chemical burn. And they show pictures of it. What's crazy is this is so well known, not by me apparently, but this is so well known that their popular summertime combination of Mexican beers with lime has led to the moniker Mexican beer dermatitis. because people will get it all over their mouth, be out in the sun drinking like Bud Light with lime and get the thing all over their mouth and then have this reaction around their mouth. And people are like, I don't know what's going on.
Good. We need to be able to shame them. Yeah. We need to be able to call them out. You Bud Light with lime drinker.
This is crazy. I feel like I would have known or heard about this. I feel like I've done a lot of like drinking some beers with lemons or limes on beaches before and yet somehow not had this happen. And again, it depends on the amount you have, the exposure. Is it diluted or not? Are you getting the lime juice directly on your skin? Is it getting washed off? Do you have sunscreen on? All of these are big factors in it. But it is a very interesting thing to think that if you really want to fuck with somebody, wait for them to be like tanning or something. Just walk by, just dump some lemon juice on them and go, oh, it's okay. It's a skin tanning product. Don't worry about it. Just put it on your body.
Okay. You just give me one more reason to not trust you pouring something on me. Yes. Before I would have thought he's pouring semen on me, but now this could be lemon juice or Sprite
or hogweed.
Yeah.
What'd you try? You got a hogweed guy?
Very interesting stuff. If you want to check out the pictures, we'll have some on our website of what this actually does to your skin. And it's fairly nasty. It'll actually eat away your skin pretty good. So just a fun prank for the summer. You know, pour some lemon lime juice, maybe some hogweed, pour it all on your buddies as they're outside.
Is it more effective to like spritz the juice on someone or to zest it and then rub that on their skin?
I would imagine it's the juice. Yeah. Okay. You definitely want to spray the juice. You know what? Now it makes me think of, you know, when dogs are bad and you can spray their face with citronella as like, like imagine that dog going outside and his face just gets burned. And you're like, yeah, that's why you shouldn't be barking, asshole.
Okay, what would you... Because I had a lemon prank that I used to do in my 20s, which was like...
Lemon party?
Yeah, where everybody comes with their shitty cars. I know exactly what you're talking about. No, where you just take a lemon slice, and when they're not looking, sneak up behind them, you just squirt it in their eye.
Right.
And just like rub it up on their eye. It works for Tabasco, too.
Yes.
But
And mace.
But I'm saying, is your prank better than my dickish...
Yeah, because yours is too immediate. I like the delayed reaction of mine. Like, mine is more of like a smart James Bond thing where you do it, you walk away, and they get screwed over. Yours, you're still likely to get punched in the face by a half-blind dude.
If you get punched in the face by a half-blind guy, you weren't moving.
Or
that head was stationary.
Yeah, or you had some kind of weird syphilis that was impairing you. You know? Yeah,
I'm a drunk roux.
All right. Thank you so much, audience, for joining us for Science Faction 236, where you learned about the accuracy of a new blood test for autism, why kangaroos in Australia are getting wasted, how the oldest syphilis ever was discovered in a baby, and how lemon and lime juice can actually burn off your skin. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 237.
That's not an invasive species. That's a baby with syphilis.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait. That's not right.